WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Iran targets Israel. I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel's Iron Dome lighting up the night sky after Iran launched a wave of missiles and air raid sirens sounding. A U.S. official estimates more than 200 missiles were launched in retaliation for the death of Hezbollah's leader last week in Lebanon. ABC News learning that Iran may be targeting military installations around Tel Aviv. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Beirut.
Israel has been very clear that if Iran attacks Israel, it is going to respond, and the response is going to be very severe. So we just have to wait and see. 99% of the missiles that were fired at Israel back in April were intercepted.
The White House says the president and vice president are receiving briefings on those developments, and the U.S. says it's readied its defenses in the region. In Tel Aviv, Israeli police say a shooting incident earlier left four people dead and others wounded. It's being treated as a terror attack. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Voters in Wausau can use their absentee ballot drop box again. A replacement is in place after Mayor Doug Denny removed the original one last week. The Marathon County DA says the Portage County Sheriff's Department is looking into whether Denny broke the law. How the winners are declared on election night is a mystery to many, but the leading organization that does the job says it'll be transparent about their calls. Anna Johnson is the Associated Press's Washington Bureau Chief.
As soon as we're making those key race calls, expect to see us showing our work, how we did it. What happened? What were the facts behind that? And I think that that is really, really important.
Johnson tells WISN-TV's Upfront the AP only declares winners when the outcomes are beyond a doubt. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Brown County Executive Troy Streckenbach unveiled his proposed budget for 2025 Monday. He said this budget includes the lowest property tax rate for Brown County on record. A press release said the county mill rate will go down 24 cents from $3.04 to $2.80, making the 2025 budget levy $94.53 million, down about $46,000 from this year's budget. The Brown County Board of Supervisors holds its annual budget meeting on October 23rd. See our story at wgbw.fm for information. Kennedy Elementary in Green Bay was put on lockdown Monday at about 1 p.m. because of a community concern. Green Bay police say they assisted Brown County sheriffs in arresting two people on warrants at that time and in that area. The lockdown was lifted after about an hour. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
It's time for the MLB postseason. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today to open up the best-of-three wildcard round. Milwaukee enters as the NL Central champion and third seed in the NL. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers are young but ready for the postseason. First pitch is after 4:30 p.m. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the LA Rams on Sunday. Coach Matt LaFleur said Sunday that the Packers had a lot to clean up after the 31-29 loss to the Minnesota Vikings in Week 4.
You got to be focused in terms of and very intentional about what you're trying to get accomplished. When you look at it, we've had two tight games that we've lost, and we got to make sure that we don't put ourselves in those positions where they do cost you.
Kickoff this week against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. And Wisconsin football will play in back-to-back 11 a.m. games the next 2 weeks. They host Purdue this Saturday and play at Rutgers next week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Significantly cooler today and crisp, with high temperatures only scraping the mid-60s. Still have some breezy winds with a few clouds filtering in here tonight, lows fall to the mid-40s. And there'll be plenty of sunshine tomorrow and a touch warmer. Highs should reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right, Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The kick is up and wide left.
Why don't they customize the goalposts? Make them wider.
Gina Della from Pella, how'd you get into the booth?
And why just yellow? Add some green stripes.
Sure, Gina. Should they also remove the G at midfield and paint a Pella crest?
Okay, Wayne, you can't customize a football game to go the way you want, but Pella can customize your home the way you want.
Right now, get 0% interest for up to 36 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. It's 10/31/2024.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Late Show with Stephen Colbert writer and comedian Paul Mercurio joins the show. And in the second hour, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Rob Breckenridge joins me in studio.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Sommers, on the board. It is Tuesday, October 1st, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. And Mr. Sommers, it is a beautiful, picture-perfect autumn fall day out there for the first full day of October. It's beautiful out.
I must agree. Now, in my opinion, that's mostly because it's not hot out. Like it looks nice.
It feels like fall today.
But it's nice and chill. Yes. And I am a big fan, as you know.
We know very well. I know blue skies here in Madison. Leaves just starting to turn here and there. So an absolutely beautiful day. Of course, a big, big news day. We thank Luke Mathers for coming on for his usual segment, Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Lots going on today. We have Catherine Lake, the general manager of WMDX, our station here in Madison, standing by in Wanakee with our great team. And we are going to bring you at least some of the comments from former President Donald Trump as he visits Dane County, the municipality of Wanakee, just north of Madison, Wisconsin. Going to be checking in. We expect that to go off somewhere around 1:30, and we'll bring you live special coverage of that. News director Terry Bell will join me at that time. But right now we're going to check in with the other breaking news, international news story of the day. You've been hearing it at the top of our show and throughout the day on CBS News Radio and ABC News Radio, depending upon which affiliate or which one of our stations across Wisconsin that you're listening to locally on Civic Media. But according to reports, Iran launched a missile attack on Israel today. So far, the Israeli military is saying that no specific casualties were reported. And to help us understand this a little bit better, we bring on our friend, an ongoing contributor, Matt Flynn, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and a Navy veteran. Matt joins us via phone from Milwaukee. Matt, as always, thanks for taking time for us and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, good to be with you, Todd. Very, very eventful day. Good to be with you.
It is certainly eventful at that. Matt, I'm not going to say you're a military expert or anything like that, but you're a historian and you know this region of the world well. You're a Navy veteran. You certainly understand the military side of this. But I'd like you to speak, if you could, just for a minute, because people might be saying, well, we live in Wisconsin. What does this matter to us? Speak a little bit about this news now that Iran has launched a missile attack on Israel. It appears that their Iron Dome, as it's called, has held, and that no major casualties have been had in Israel. But talk about this relationship between the United States and Israel as allies and why this is important to us, what happens there as Americans and Wisconsinites.
Yeah, it's very important. And here's the background. Iran is a fake name. It was known as Persia. You've heard of Persia from all your school days. It was the Persian Empire. And then in the 1930s, they changed their name to Iran because they think they're Aryans, therefore Iran. An Aryan is not a Germanic blonde guy. Aryans, historically, were Indo-Iranian people with dark eyes and so forth. And they are not Arabs. They hate Arabs. They are also Shiites. Of all the Muslims in the world, 10% of them are Shiites, 90% of them are Sunnis. The Sunnis and the Shiites hate each other. Saudi Arabia is a Sunni Arab nation. It hates Iran more than it hates Israel. So we've got to keep this in mind. Israel is our friend. Israel is our ally. We owe Israel a tremendous debt of gratitude for standing almost alone, except with our military assistance, against this tide. Let me tell you something. Persia tried to invade ancient Greece. Alexander the Great in the 4th century B.C. had to beat them in a battle. They have been a scourge of Western civilization for a long time. So now, with Israel, we have many friends in the Middle East. Jordan is a friend. This present Egyptian government are with us. The Saudis are coming around. We are trying, through the Abraham Accords, to bring them all together. The fly in the ointment is Persia, i.e. Iran. And so what they have done is, with their proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, and they are also helping a bunch of others, like Al-Qaeda, the Janjaweed, Al-Shabaab. And even though ISIS hates, ISIS is a Sunni outfit of terror, they hate the Shiites, they hate Iran, but they're all in this together through jihad to basically exterminate the West and every Jew and Christian in the world. We've got to stand up against Iran. We've got to stand up. So very wisely, Joe Biden has sent and Lloyd Austin have sent more reinforcements into that area, and they've let Iran know. If Iran attacks any of our people, or if they attack Israel with more than these sort of fake things that are being handled by Iron Dome, they're going to pay a terrible price. And I am of the opinion, and I'm not in the State Department, but at some point before they direct, they develop a nuclear weapon, somebody, either Israel or us or a coalition of NATO, have got to go in and bomb their nuclear facility before they get a jihadist bomb.
Matt, I thought there was, I don't want to go too deep into the politics, but I thought this was interesting, particularly with Donald Trump in Wanakee today in Dane County. And we're going to take some of his comments here around the bottom of the hour. But according to reports, Donald Trump said this morning, following reports that this, when he said this, it was a possible Iranian strike on Israel. Now we know that it happened. But when he was told there was an impending strike on Israel by the Iranians, Trump reportedly said, quote, "They should not do it. It would be a big mistake if they do. They have no respect for the administration, i.e. the Biden administration." Trump went on to say, quote, "This would have never happened if I was president," unquote. But if a follow-up, but this is great reporting, reporter Leah Martin from I believe the Boston Globe said, "It feels important to note that the president of the union, leading the port strike right now, has a long-standing relationship with Trump and is causing major damage to a roaring economy 5 weeks before the election." But sorry, that was another story there. But more importantly, I'm looking at my notes here. I apologize. Another reporter saying in 2020, Iran fired a dozen ballistic missiles directly at U.S. forces in retaliation for an assassination, and 110 U.S. service members received traumatic brain injuries. So former President Trump's, you know, criticism of the current administration, the Biden administration, saying this would have never happened. In fact, it did happen in 2020 when Trump was in office.
Yeah, here, this is a very, very important point and an important distinction. What Trump is saying, they never would have done under me, that's false. They did. But secondly, if he's saying to people 4 weeks, 5 weeks before the election, I would take action against them if they did, Joe Biden has already done that. He has already said he would. This is very important for the Democrats. This is the kind of thing, depending on how it's handled, can switch an election.
Right.
It's happening 5 weeks before the election.
Right.
So it's very, very important to pay attention, everybody, that Joe Biden is standing up and defending Israel. That's extremely important.
And
the fact is that if Trump says he is too, great, but I mean, Joe Biden is.
Right. And very briefly, Matt, again, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because I want to get your comment on this port strike that I started reading by accident there. but very quickly, again, regardless, and again, I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole, regardless of how people may feel about what's happening in Israel and Gaza, in my opinion, you can separate out Netanyahu as the current leader of Israel from the Israeli people and the longstanding alliance that the United States has had with the country of Israel, not Netanyahu.
The first person to recognize Israel was Harry Truman back in 1948. They are our allies. This whole business of demonizing Netanyahu, you can disagree with them on a lot of things. But the truth of the matter is that Hamas is supported by Iran. Mm. Hezbollah is supported by Iran. Anybody who is attacking Israel because they don't like Netanyahu and is protesting on university campuses is sleeping with the enemy. Yeah. They are aligning themselves with an enemy of the United States. All of these people have a jihadist instinct where they want to exterminate Christians and Jews. People better wake up to that. We are defending Israel for a lot of reasons. It's the moral thing to do, but they are standing tall for Western civilization.
And important to your point, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, it was in 1996 under Democratic President Bill Clinton that Hamas and Hezbollah were named as terrorist organizations and enemies of the United States.
Right, and people do not, that's exactly right, under Bill Clinton, and people do not focus on the fact that what happened on October 7 a year ago was sadism. Mm. They went in and tortured children in front of their mothers and fathers.
So let me,
these people are not normal people. Go ahead.
About a minute and a half, Matt, this story I erroneously started reading. I got my notes mixed up. But again, this port strike right now, basically on the eastern seacoast, and important to note, that the president of the union right now leading this port strike has a long-standing relationship with Trump. There's pictures posted today of them shaking hands. Is this really for workers' rights going on right now, this port strike out east, Matt, or is there something more nefarious going on?
Well, here's where I'm concerned. I'll boil this down. This is costing us about $5 billion a day. It'll take a week for every day that they're down. And they're demanding two things. One is higher wages, and the companies have said they'd pay them. But the other one is they want the companies to forswear ever using automation. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? This is done to help Trump. It's done to hurt the economy just before the election. And Trump is the kind of guy who is very capable of having talked to them about it. I mean, he's already done things in the Congress to try to cut good legislation that might benefit, quote, unquote, Biden. This is wrong, what's going on. And I'll tell you what, Biden has the right under the Taft-Hartley Act and other laws of ordering them back to work, and that's what I do. He's pro-labor. Great, they get greater wages, but you're not going to say companies are going to not forswear automation? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And then the minute Trump gets in, they go, okay, well, we didn't much care about that. That's right. What's going on.
Lots of politics being played. Matt Flynn, as you always do, appreciate, as Judge Weissman said, putting it down there where the chickens can get at it. You're always fantastic. We appreciate you, Matt. Thank you so very much. Matt Flynn, ladies and gentlemen, two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, and, of course, a great Navy veteran as well. And again, at the top and the bottom of the hour, our CBS News and ABC News radio folks will continue to update us on what's happening in Israel. As far as what's being reported now, the Iranian missile strikes have ended, at least for now. Israelis are being told it is safe to go back onto the streets. It is safe to come on back. We're going to preview Trump in Wisconsin. And also, yes, there is a vice presidential debate happening tonight. We'll actually get to that. It's a busy news day here at the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA. GBA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Silver stars were clinging to an autumn sky. Love was ours until October wandered by.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock here on Tuesday, October 1st, as it turns out. Mr. Zombers, what did you dial up?
Autumn Serenade by John Coltrane featuring Johnny Hartman on vocals. I just figured, you know, we need to chill out a little bit. Yes. It's been a while since we played some jazz, and I wanted to play that on October 1st.
Coltrane, just one of my favorite artists, actually. And I don't have time to go into this story, but Barack Obama is a huge former president, Barack Obama, of Coltrane. And he once told a speechwriter, did we ever play that cut of this show? It was on Colbert, I think.
I think we did.
Where the speechwriter said that Obama had told him, that's good, but like what you wrote for me. But
yeah, we played that.
And go home and listen to Coltrane, because he doesn't hit tens all the time. There's some sevens and a couple of fours.
I think that example, he said Miles Davis.
Oh, was it Miles Davis?
I believe so.
Miles Davis. All right. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me.
But I know he is a known fan of both.
Of Coltrane, yeah. It's just, it puts you in a good mood. A little fall song for you. Welcome back to the show. 22 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to be covering, along with our news director, Terry Bell, former President Trump in Wanakee, Wisconsin, here in Dane County. Later on, he is traveling to Milwaukee as well. Second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, husband of Vice President Harris, will also be in Milwaukee. So, boy howdy, with the Brewers playing this afternoon, Doug Emhoff in Milwaukee, and Donald Trump in Milwaukee. If you do not have to drive in Milwaukee metro area right now, don't do it.
Just stay home.
Just stay home, because the traffic is going to be horrendous.
Consider calling in sick.
Yeah, exactly. Or give yourself plenty and plenty and plenty of extra time, because it is going to be a lot of traffic around there. All right. Speaking of special events coming up tonight, is it? Correct me if I'm wrong, Zomer. 7:30, I believe, is broadcast time tonight.
Yes.
7:30, it'll be Terry Bell and our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8. We'll be covering the vice presidential debate, the one and only vice presidential debate here on the Civic Media Radio Network, presented by CBS News. And it is between, of course, J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz, Senator J.D. Vance and Governor Tim Walz. Lots to talk about, and again, because of the busy news day, just didn't have time to set it all up. But this was Stuart Stevens, I believe, on MSNBC yesterday, and I thought he really nailed this. So this is Stuart Stevens, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor with our friend Trigvi Olson at the Lincoln Project. Here's what Stuart Stevens had to say about this vice presidential debate tonight.
I think tomorrow night matters a lot for the Trump campaign, because it's the last chance, as you were saying earlier, to have a large television audience.
Yeah.
And Vance has got to go in there looking for a knockout punch. And that's a very difficult position to be. I mean, you know, when you step back from it, I've done a million debate preps in presidential, they're ultimately arguments. So what is the argument that the Trump campaign is making? That if you vote for us, what do you get? Well, these illegal immigrants who are at your door like the living dead, we're going to get rid of them. It just doesn't work because they're not. And, you know, what is it that they're so upset about the economy? Is it the record stock market or the record low unemployment? It's really not looking at the world as the world exists. And if you look at the primary, a threshold question about voting for Trump, do you believe that the last election was a fair, legal election? If you didn't, you voted for Trump. That was about 70%, 75% of the Republican electorate. That's why they're stuck in this cul-de-sac of how many voters. Ultimately, Trump lost by 7 million. He needs new customers. They're daring people every day not to vote for him. It was Jewish voters a couple of days ago. Then he was going to blame them if he lost.
Right.
And what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to take him up on that dare and not vote for him.
Stuart Stevens from the Lincoln Project there. And I thought Stuart really nails it on a couple of different facets. First and foremost, you just take the emotion out of it and you get down to the actual numbers. And as Stuart said there, in 2020, about 70% of the Republican base voted for Trump. But in his words, I love this phrase, Trump needs new customers. Vance needs new customers. And like Stuart said, what's your argument? The record economy, the record stock market, the fact that crime's going down. And it seems to be, and we saw this recently, we'll be interested to see what Trump says here in a few minutes in Wanakee. This narrative that people are coming to get you, people that don't look like you or don't talk like you or have different color skin than you. We talked about this yesterday on the show. Most communities or counties, at least in Wisconsin, still have a weekly newspaper. And a lot of these newspapers post the police blotter. And it's the kind of the gossip corner for the community, right? Oh, you know, who got a DUI, you know, who got arrested for assaulting their spouse. And it got people gossip about it. Small town life. And I talked about this yesterday. Look at your local newspaper, at the police blotter, at the court records. And just ask yourself, and again, you can't tell everybody by a name. I don't mean to paint with too broad of a brush. But you can kind of tell, all right, there's not too many quote-unquote undocumented folks with the last name of Johnson or Williams or Smith. And look at who is being, the allegations, people are being arrested on criminal charges in your community. And look how many of those people are your local neighbors and friends and citizens of your community who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants, and even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. And so to Stuart's point, this whole narrative that people are coming to get you, it doesn't walk on the street, so to speak, politically, because it's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies. Because, you know, the zombies are going to get you. It's not happening. That's fiction. You're not going to win a race for Congress or president by telling people the zombies are coming to get you because people are smarter than that. So it's hard to win an election saying that the immigrants are coming to get you when they're not doing that. And all Trump is doing is playing on your fears, our fears, about people who don't look or sound or talk like us. And meanwhile, our Catholic churches, our Lutheran churches are having potluck dinners to raise money for the missionaries overseas. And that we're fine with. And you know why? Because it's overseas. It's not over the backyard fence. It's time we start talking to our neighbors over the backyard fence to find the truth. Come on back. A special report here with Terry Bell on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is trying again to change PFAS regulations for drinking water. Last week, the Natural Resources Board approved a request to start the process. Republican lawmakers blocked the DNR's last push for remediation steps. People in Wisconsin on the front lines against water pollution want a state program expanded. The Well Compensation Grant Program helps cover the cost of replacing wells polluted by farm runoff, but not many people who need it qualify.
Nitrate concentrations must exceed 40 parts per million. The health standard is 10 parts per million, so you'd have to have a very high nitrate concentration in your private well.
Chase Cummings is with the Dunn County Environmental Services Department. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for public comment for an environmental review of the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program project in Appleton. The project includes replacing lead service lines in the city of Appleton. Comments can be submitted to the DNR by October 14th. See our story at WGBW.fm for links and information. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin DNR wants the public to check the fire danger on its website before conducting any outdoor burning activities right now. There is a potential for increased fire activity due to dry weather and gusty winds. The DNR says most of Wisconsin is under a moderate fire threat, while Forest, Marinette, and Oconto counties have a high fire threat. Burning brush, leaf piles, and debris are the number one causes of wildfires in Wisconsin. Sparks from recreational equipment and campfires are also contributing causes. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Wow, Were We Ever Wrong News, many of the writers on Saturday Night Live did not think Will Ferrell was funny when he first joined the show. Ferrell recalls the early days in the new Netflix documentary Will and Harper, in which Ferrell and former Saturday Night Live writer Harper Steele take a cross-country road trip. Steele started on the show the same time Ferrell did and said the rest of the cast and writers thought Ferrell was a dud, but she just knew he wasn't. Will Ferrell got the last laugh as he went on to be an SNL favorite and star in movies like Elf and Anchorman. About every 10 years or so, Barry Williams shows up in the news and spills the tea about his fellow Brady Bunch cast members. A few years ago, he talked about his crush on his TV mom, Florence Henderson, and their innocent kiss. And now Williams is saying all the cast members hooked up. Williams, who played Greg Brady, says he hooked up with Marsha, the actress who played Peter and Jan dated, and even Bobby and Cindy dated. Relax, folks. They were step-siblings. And actors. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Significantly cooler today and crisp, with high temperatures only scraping the mid-60s. Still have some breezy winds with a few clouds filtering in here tonight, lows fall to the mid-40s. And there'll be plenty of sunshine tomorrow and a touch warmer. Highs should reach 70. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Paul. Plus, we'll preview the VP debate with Walls and Vance. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
afternoon. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News, and we're interrupting the Todd Arbaugh Show for a bit to bring you a special live coverage of Donald Trump's remarks at a campaign event in northern Dane County, Wanakee, to be exact. Terry Bell, Todd Arbaugh is with me, and we'll be airing about 28 minutes or so of Trump's speech. That's about the same time that Vice President Harris spoke at her rally in Madison on September 20th. And, of course, we will be around to analyze what the former president has to say, and Todd Arbaugh is here to help us with that.
Terry, great to have you here on this segment of the afternoon show. Again, this special report here. And we're awaiting former President Trump in Wanakee, as Terry said, just north of Madison. I was reminded, Terry, last night in doing some preparation for this, the last time that a Republican nominee for president had a rally inside of Dane County was 1996. The candidate was Bob Dole, former U.S. Senate, majority leader in the U.S. Senate. I was in the room, as they say, because it happened at the Dane County Airport. I was working for former Republican Congressman Scott Klug. And so I tried to dial up that speech. I couldn't find that one, but I found another one on C-SPAN from a couple of weeks later in 1996. I watched it this morning. It's about 15 minutes.
Wow.
And I thought it was still interesting, the contrasting Bob Dole in that speech in 1996 and on the campaign trail was saying the words, it doesn't matter whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, you can still be a Republican, and talked about making exceptions for when it comes to abortion on the life of the mother. That's very different to the rhetoric that we heard. I know you were there in Pertusheen over the weekend on Saturday when the former President Trump was there. Very different than what former President Trump said in Pennsylvania. Which one of the what rhetoric is it going to be? The rhetoric from the party of Reagan and Dole of 96, or what is he bringing today to Wanakee?
Well, the theme is the economy, no doubt. It's being held at a manufacturing facility in Wanakee, and I've seen signs up that say jobs, jobs, jobs with exclamation points. So if Saturday's theme in Prairie du Chien was crime and immigration, this theme today will be about the economy. Polling-wise, what would seem to be Donald Trump's strong suit, polls show that the voters are leaning towards Trump when they come to, those voters feel that he can do a better job on the economy.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to play to his strengths, as a candidate would. I think it's very interesting you mentioned the differences between now and the late 1990s, and that is the last time a Republican came to campaign in Dane County. And there has been, for many years, Republicans just stayed away. It's the bluest county in all of Wisconsin, and it's getting bigger and even bluer. But what many Republican leaders are saying is that there are still votes to be had here, and strategically it would be a mistake to simply ignore them and just cede those votes to the other side.
Well, and to your point, Terry, we saw this literally on, I believe it was Upfront on TV station WISN in Milwaukee last weekend or the weekend before. Former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, elected four times here in Wisconsin, former Secretary of Health and Human Services under George W. Bush, literally laid out the plan and claimed that he told Trump to his face, if you want to win Wisconsin, you have to go to Platteville in southwest Wisconsin. You got to come into, in his words, quote, the belly of the beast, unquote, of Dane County, and you got to go to Milwaukee. And here, a couple of weeks later, Trump goes just north of Platteville to Prairie du Chien. Now he's the first candidate, as you said, since 96 to come into Dane County. Later on today, he'll be going to Milwaukee, as will the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. So, plus the Brewers, Terry, don't drive in Milwaukee to those listening on WAUK down in southeast Wisconsin. But it is a new thing for him, and we'll see how it hunts. I guess to your point, Tommy Thompson clearly has Trump's ear.
He seems to, yes. And I think it also goes to show how narrow the margins are in Wisconsin. Four of the last six presidential campaigns here, I believe, were won by less than a percentage point. Mm-hmm. It's always within 1 or 2 points, just a few thousand votes. So, you know, if you can siphon a few Dane County, Milwaukee County votes, you know, Republicans feel it's worth trying.
I think
I'm getting an indication now that Catherine Lake is standing by at Wanakee. Catherine, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, thank you. It's really kind of fun to be here, I gotta tell you. It's quite wild. It's nothing like the really large Pamela event we were at, 10,000 plus at the Downtown Expo Center. But here, it's only 1,000 people. They're very calm, really excited, I think, waiting, but they're not being overly loud. There's some good music playing. People are sitting. Some standing. They were real enthusiastic for Tommy Thompson. He really got them fired up. And Scott Walker was just before him. But I'm really interested to see what Donald Trump has to say here in this kind of wealthy town, if you will, the more wealthy area of Dane County than most. I did just speak to a woman who's here, and maybe that audio is available. She's real excited about a second term with Donald Trump, I can tell you that.
Catherine, we talked about a little bit this earlier. This is Todd on our show earlier. According to information we're getting, Wisconsin GOP is saying about 500 people inside. That's the capacity where you're at this manufacturing place in Wanakee. What do you think the numbers are on the outside? All right, I think we as we have all experienced, Terry, this year, these cell signals and whatnot, once you get that many people in a centralized location, it gets pretty
dicey.
That's
really true. It is worth mentioning that this is a smaller space than right. Kamala Harris appeared at a couple of weeks ago. So this was by invitation only. Mm-hmm. Also, Donald Trump had a relatively small space in Prairie du Chien on Saturday, an auditorium that had a capacity of 650 officially.
Right.
Plenty of people outside, not sure what the numbers are or were. Mm-hmm. So this was by invitation only. There were a small number of tickets available to the public, and they were handed out on a first-come, first-served basis as a accepting, I suppose, a few dignitaries and a few well-placed Republicans. But, I think that accounts to maybe a different level of energy than accustomed to seeing from outdoor rallies.
I think so, Terry, because, you know, in Prairie du Chien, they claimed, the Trump campaign claimed that it was supposed to be an outdoor rally. They're going to have, quote, thousands of people, unquote, and then got moved into the inside space, and they claimed it was because the Secret Service didn't have enough people to do a protecting well enough on the outside. Of course, they chose to schedule that during the 1 week out of the year that happens every year when the UN has their General Assembly, and the Secret Service has charged all these dignitaries, not just one country, but all these dignitaries. And so, you know, it seemed like a convenient reason. I don't know. I'll leave that up to others. But it's fascinating that a little over a week ago Friday, Kamala Harris was able to have over 10,500 people inside in the Dane County Coliseum. And Trump chooses to do an inside event today that holds 500-ish, maybe a little bit more people. I think it's this enthusiasm, Terry, and we've seen this in polling by our friends at Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School poll and other places. The enthusiasm gap ever since the Kamala Harris became the Democratic nominee rather than Joe Biden has certainly now exceeded that of the enthusiasm for level four Republicans for Trump.
Yet Harris has yet to translate that into a big lead in the polls. Nobody is running away with Wisconsin by any stretch of the imagination. I believe the New York Times poll that came out over the weekend had Harris with a 2-point lead, which is well within the margin of error. So it just goes to show we're going to see these candidates a lot in the next 5-6 weeks.
Still waiting, Donald Trump there in Wanakee. Terry, I want to go back to comments or this connection to Tommy Thompson that you brought up. Because as a former Republican who left the party in 2011, I think this is important. Tommy Thompson still has a lot of cachet amongst Wisconsinites, not just Republicans, but because he has a record while he was governor of reaching across the aisle and working with Democrats in a bipartisan fashion. I think for some people, it's confusing, to put it politely, to see a person like Tommy Thompson, who grew up in a small town of Elroy in southwest Wisconsin, who has a history of bipartisanship and loves this state, to be now not just endorsing, but rallying crowds like he is in Wanakee. He already spoke, and according to reports from people who were there, Tommy Thompson said, quote, "The only way that we can win and get him, Trump, back is to carry Wisconsin. If you have to go where the votes are, you have to go where the opposition is." And today he said, quote, "Democrats, get the hell out of the way," unquote. This after the former president over the weekend
seemed to call for, not seemed, he called for violence. And whether you want to say it was a day, he called for violence in terms of combating crime and said he wanted, quote, one really, and I mean really rough hour, unquote, insinuating violence. That is not the Tommy Thompson that Wisconsinites remember. As a former Republican, not the kind of guy, he would never campaign on that. Bob Dole in 1996, last Republican to campaign for president in Dane County, was talking about being, he started the speech by saying, you won't find a more optimistic person than me, and talking about the future, talking about the traditional Republican things, tax cuts and empowering small business people. These are not the things that Donald Trump is talking about, and he's talking about division. And it seems odd to a lot of people, I think, has Tommy Thompson sold his soul for a future post in the Trump administration? It's very confusing, and it's antithetical to what Republicanism used to be.
Well, Tommy Thompson is the consummate politician. And one thing in my observation of my many years of being a reporter is that Tommy Thompson was especially skilled at being all things to all people.
So
people who wanted to look at him and see a conservative saw a conservative. People who looked at him and wanted to see a moderate saw a moderate. So it's, I think, true to form to a great deal that he seems to glide comfortably from faction to faction throughout the political spectrum. He got a lot of laudits for his time as the interim president of the Universities of Wisconsin system. Mm-hmm. And he's a politician that way, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look, if I take, and we're not going to go into the same thing on this special broadcast that I might on my show, but if I take out the emotion, if I take out, just look at it as someone who spent 30 years in politics, what Trump is doing, what former Governor Thompson is advising Trump to do is the way you win Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But we played the cut on our show a little while ago, Stuart Stevens, of course, who worked for people like George W. Bush and Mitt Romney, and is now a senior advisor at Lincoln Project. I thought his comment was really good, that Trump lost in 2020, not just in Wisconsin, of course, across the country. And he came up because he could only get about 70 to 75% of the Republican identified base to vote for him. In Stuart Stevens' words, Trump needs, quote, more customers, unquote. And I'm what you identified earlier, talking about jobs, if he stays on that, talking about the economy, that would seem to be ways to get new customers. But talking about, undocumented folks and talking about their throats being slit in your kitchen by people that you don't know, that's not a great sell if you're the Republican nominee in Wisconsin.
That wouldn't be, that would seem to be the case. And you're absolutely right. There are very few votes out there to get, really, when it comes to Donald Trump and to a large extent Joe Biden, and maybe to a lesser extent Kamala Harris. People by this point are pretty much dug in to mm-hmm. what they think. So, right, like you say, new customers, that's a very good way to put it. What appeal can Donald Trump make to undecided voters? I think if he pivots to the economy, I think he gives himself a better chance.
You would think that, but I'm not sure. Aaron Zomers,
he's hard to keep on track.
He's doing yeoman's work back there, Zomers. I don't know. Do we have the clip talking about overtime anywhere? If you, all right, that's fine. I'll just paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. Trump over the weekend, and he literally said this. He said, I shouldn't say this, but when I own businesses, I never paid it. Quote, I never paid it. I got other people. I mean, he admits on the stump, on the record, in front of the press, that he doesn't want to pay and doesn't believe in overtime. My question would be, and maybe Catherine Lake, while she's doing her great reporting out there, could ask a few people, I'd be interested to know, these people who are in Wanakee today to see the former president, if you ask them, hey, if you have a 40-hour a week job and you worked 60 hours, are you okay with working 20 hours for free? And I bet the answer, most people would say no, and yet here's a guy, the Republican nominee in Trump, who is now saying on the record that he doesn't believe in paying overtime.
Well, yeah, and that's true to form for Trump for many years. A long list of people who Trump has hired for this and that over the years that he ended up stiffing. So, it's true to form for him to say. It is interesting that people who are looking to the two major candidates to better their lives economically would throw their fate in that direction. But, people are having a hard time paying for things. It is, the economy, all the high level numbers in the economy are doing fantastic. And that's very true. But there's a great disconnect. How you feel about the economy depends on who you vote for. This is research that the folks at Wisconsin Watch have done and are coming out with right now, and it's absolutely fascinating. A person who makes the same amount feels either the economy is doing great or is not doing great at all, depending on, you know, what stripes they are politically.
Yeah, and, you know, as the late, great former House Speaker, Democrat Tip O'Neill from Massachusetts once said, you know, all politics is local. And so to your point on the economy, if you, say, are somebody who worked for the state or a teacher or whatnot, and you have a pension and you have a state investment and you're looking at the stock market, you're going, wow, this is really great for my retirement plan, right? The portfolio and you know, the stock market's doing great. But again, it comes down to those kitchen table politics, to use the cliche, how much folks are paying for things like groceries. And there are some people, particularly with larger families, who are saying, hey, my groceries cost more today. And to her credit, I think, current vice president, the Democratic nominee, Kamala Harris, has said on the stump, look, I get that. And we've been trying to address that. We've made some improvement. The economy as a whole is doing great, but it comes down to how folks, to your point, Terry, how they either in reality or how they perceive it in their personal life. And again, I think that's people like Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming and others, Republicans in Wisconsin, have been trying to say, talk more, Trump, about those things and less about making fun of Kamala Harris's name. Or over the weekend, he went so far as to say that she was, quote, mentally disabled, unquote. I was in politics for 30 years. Terry, you covered it for as long, probably almost. Those are just not normal things that any major politician would say about their opponent.
No, Ed, much has been written about how much Donald Trump has normalized a lot of things that were once considered unthinkable. He has, you know, survived a lot of self-laid traps throughout his career in politics in the last 10 years or so. He's committed gaffes and made choices that would have killed any other political career, even as recently as, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I look at, you know, John Edwards.
Right.
And, you know, what he got caught up in was, you know, kid stuff compared to what we see today.
In the Democratic, refresh my memory, Terry, of the year, in the Democratic primary when, from Vermont, Howard Dean screamed after, after a win.
That was the end of his political career.
You know, he just screamed and put his, and literally, you're right, that was the end of Howard Dean's political career for screaming in excitement.
Yeah.
And here we are.
How far we've come.
In 2024, and a major candidate could call a sitting, first woman to be a sitting vice president and call her mentally disabled, quote unquote, which of course is completely 100% factually untrue, and have that be, you know, on page 7 of a newspaper, for those of you who remember newspapers, but to be so little reported, to have a former president and the current nominee for a major party in Donald Trump to call for violence, to say that it has to be an hour of really bad violence to solve America's problems. Again, I go back, Terry, to the last time a Republican came into Dane County to campaign for president, 1996, Bob Dole. I watched one of those speeches this morning. It was 15 minutes long. There was nothing even close to that. I mean, remember Bob Dole was running against Bill Clinton. And for all of his trials and foibles and whatever you want to call it, he referred to him as President Clinton. There was respect for the office.
No schoolyard taunting or anything like that. And boy, I remember John McCain at one of his events taking the microphone away from a woman who called Barack Obama a Muslim, as if that's a bad thing, but and defended his opponent in front of a crowd of supporters.
McCain took the microphone away from the woman and said, "No, ma'am, no. He's a good man. He's a Christian man. We just have disagreements."
Right.
And
how far we've come again.
How far we've come. Maybe as we await former President Trump and Wanakee right now, Terry, you can remind folks if you like politics, stay tuned, because later tonight you're going to be joined by a friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, for the VP debate.
That's right. So the vice presidential debates, we will begin our special coverage at 7:45. Get you prepared. Dan Schaefer will join us as well, and we'll talk about a lot of interest in this. I mean, let's be honest. Never in the history of American politics has a vice presidential debate tipped the outcome.
No.
But I think people will be interested to see these two in action in a way they really haven't seen before. So it'll be interesting that way. And you never know the viral moment that comes out of that, you know, whether it's, you know, you're no Jack Kennedy or anything like that. Who knows? It might happen.
It might happen. And, you know, a lot has been made about CBS News, which is the sponsor and main carrier of this, which we'll carry tonight at Civic Media, as we said, at 7:30. CBS announced that, unlike what ABC did during the presidential debate, they are not going to have their moderators, Nora O'Donnell or Margaret Brennan, do any fact-checking. It will be, in their words, up to the candidates to fact-check each other. Terry, just as an aside, as a longtime journalist trained in AP style and true journalism, do you think, in your opinion, do you think that CBS is abdicating journalistic responsibility?
I think it's an unfortunate choice, and I feel bad to hear that. I thought the ABC anchors comported themselves quite well that mm-hmm. night and performed an important service. And, you know, these events ought not to be mere entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, they are also designed to inform. And to inform, you have to be honest and tell the truth. And I thought the two anchors for ABC did an exemplary job of that. It's too bad CBS has chosen not to.
Yeah, agreed. We are waiting for a special coverage here along with Terry Bell. I'm Todd Albaugh. For former President Donald Trump, the Republican nominee is in Dane County, the first Republican candidate to do so since 1996. He is in Wanakee. We're still waiting, Terry, the former president, to come out. I believe, if I'm reading my notes correctly here, we have a clip here of Catherine with a Trump voter. Catherine Lake, of course, general manager of WMDX, our flagship station here in Madison. And Mr. Zomers, if we have it, here is Catherine Lake talking to a Trump voter a little while ago in Wanakee.
What's your first name?
Tatum. I think it's about time we had a Republican come to Dane County.
Tell me what you like about Donald Trump. Why do you support him?
Everything was better under Trump. Everything was cheaper. We were more unified. We didn't go to war.
Well, that's a take.
That is a take.
That's a take. I find it interesting, Terry, and we talked a little bit about it earlier on our show. And just a quick programming note, and our producers can correct me if I'm wrong, but you're listening to Civic Media Radio Network across Wisconsin. It's now 3 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Maggie Dawn show will join that after the Trump special report here. But we talked about this on our show, Terry, about what's going on today in the Middle East, and the fact that Iran has attacked Israel with missiles. There are reports out of Israel now that that attack has stopped and there are no major casualties. It's still a fluid situation. But earlier today, to this voter's point in Wanakee, saying there were no, quote-unquote, no wars and whatnot under Trump, when Trump was told earlier today about this impending Iranian strike on Israel, Trump said, quote, they should not do it. It would be a big mistake if they do. They have no respect for the administration, parenthetically, i.e. the Biden administration. Back to the quote, this would have never happened if I were president, unquote. And in 2020, in fact, Iran fired a dozen ballistic missiles directly at U.S. forces in retaliation for an assassination there. 110 U.S. service members received traumatic brain injuries. And so, again, I find it fascinating, Terry, as someone who was involved in politics for so long, that the truth just doesn't come to the top.
Well, you know, and this has been the go-to talking point for Donald Trump. Anytime an unfortunate situation happens under this administration, he likes to claim it would not have happened under him. And, you know, facts like this come to the surface that proves that that is, in fact, not the case. We will be very interested to hear what the former president has to say in Dane County, Wisconsin, coming up right after this check of the news here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Amanda Merkway, the advocacy director of the ACLU Wisconsin. We'll discuss the election fraud being engaged by MAGA Republicans and what you can do about it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.